You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Dominic Lee coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine and also Civic Media's world headquarters in downtown Madison. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on YouTube and Twitter. Coming up, the last half hour of the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be joining us to talk all things sports. Yeah, we'll talk about today's game.
Yeah.
Will that make you happy?
Yesterday's game didn't happen
at
all.
It never happened.
I don't know, baseball.
We will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the All Aboard edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, delighted to be joined by the president of and CEO of America's Public Television Stations, Kate Riley, is here. Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
A lot of discussion about the cuts now to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and what this is going to mean, especially I think what's getting skipped over a little bit is how important this is for rural areas and getting information out to our rural areas. What do you see, Kate, as the consequences of this cut?
Well, you're exactly right. What we have are local stations all over the country that are committed to serving their local communities. Our local public television stations provide a free over-the-air signal to 97% of the American population. And in many rural areas, they may be the only locally controlled broadcast media, and sometimes the only broadcast media available at all, which makes them a critical source of local information during emergencies and disasters, and also a critical source of community information about what's going on, local public affairs, in addition, of course, to the education resources that our stations provide. So when you look at the rescission of the funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, over 70% of that funding went directly to local stations based in communities. And what we see is that the stations in rural areas were more reliant on that funding from CPB than other stations, which puts them at a very high risk of potentially having to close. But I will say, as we've been seeing our member stations dealing with this sudden cut in funding, we are seeing every single station around the country looking at cuts in services, cuts in local programming. This is going to affect every single community, but the rural communities are going to be hardest hit.
And we're talking about job cuts too.
Absolutely. You know, we've already seen numerous layoffs from stations around the country. And I think, you know, what's important to really think about there is what are the services that those staff were providing to their community that are no longer going to be provided because of those staffing cuts. And that's education support. We have numerous stations that have educators on staff who work with their local schools and their communities, families, caregivers, homeschoolers to really provide this free educational content that's been proven to move the needle in education outcomes for kids. So we really are seeing a real loss of services. The other big area that we see cut is local programming. And these are, you know, the local documentaries about the history of places and people, but also current affairs programs. Those are some of the most expensive things that our stations produce. And having that federal investment of funds really made it possible. Without that, we've already seen stations eliminating local programs, and then others flagging, look, we think we're going to have to eliminate this program in the coming month or two. And really the effects are going to be on a rolling basis. stations are at different points in their fiscal years because they are all independent entities, right, locally controlled. So this isn't a big national operation. This is sort of a decentralized federation, and each station is responsive to their community. And as a result, we're going to see the impact roll out over time in the coming months.
One of the things that a while ago, I put something on my social media platform about the closure of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And one of the comments that came back was, well, if they just would have gotten more money and gotten better investors. And what they were doing is they were speaking about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, as well as public television, whether it's NPR and or PBS or local stations. He was talking about it like they were businesses, like they were for-profit businesses. And that's not what these groups do. This is about locally funded free news. Like as you, I looked at your website, this is about independent news, nonpartisan news, just trying to get people the information they need. This isn't a business that can be, I don't know, injected with investment money like that. You can give money as a donation, but it's not like a big corporation that's for profit.
Right. I think that's a really important point to make. I think too much in this conversation, there's this idea that NPR and PBS are networks that control all the stations. And that is not how it operates. The stations are all independent entities, locally controlled. They choose whether to be members of PBS or NPR. We have some public television and some public radio stations that are not members of NPR or PBS, and they air a different mix of programming. That's a variety. All stations air a mix of local, regional, and national programming. Some they create themselves, some they create in partnership, and some they acquire from other sources. But I think your point is very, very important, which is that our mission is public service. The Public Broadcasting Act established that mission, that we should provide educational content to all Americans for free. And that is what we are committed to doing. And that means that we have stations in small rural areas where there is not a commercial incentive to be there. No one is going to make money by serving those communities. But that makes this service even more important. Yes. And it's why the federal investment is critical.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Kate Riley is our guest, the president and CEO of America's Public Television Stations, and we're talking about the decision by the Trump administration to stop funding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. One thing I want to throw in here, Kate, that people may not be aware of, and it's one of those lesser things floating around, but when communities lose reporters on the ground, it actually affects their bond rating when the city wants to go and borrow money, because there's no one looking out for the public. Mm-hmm. That's an important piece that I just think a lot of people don't think about.
Yeah, and there really is so much value to that local community connection and local coverage and local stories that our public television stations are able to provide. A number of our stations throughout the country provide a sort of C-SPAN of the states, where they're covering their state legislators, both the legislative bodies, but also the regulatory agencies, even the Supreme Courts, and especially in areas where people aren't able to travel to attend a legislative committee meeting. These stations are airing these meetings so that the American people and the citizens of that state can know what's going on and can be informed about what their government's doing, how their government's working for them. And, you know, we've actually talked to a number of members of Congress and state legislators who know that their local public television stations are some of the only media outlets that are actually covering their work in a very detailed way. You know, we have reporters here in D.C. covering their congressional delegations from their states on a deeper level than any other media outlet.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they like that.
let's
have fewer people watching what I'm doing. I think if I were a politician, it might be a good thing.
You know, I think that what when the members that we've talked to, especially with their local stations, they generally feel like they get a fair shake. They get a chance to put their view into put their priorities out there, which is, you know, what we want to do is to make sure that we're covering issues from all angles. One of the things I frequently talk about is that, you know, there's actually more than two sides to every issue. There's a whole range of views and impressions. And one of the things that public television stations do that is so important in terms of these community connections is really shine a light on what is motivating different parts of their community to seek solutions in different ways. You know, as Americans, we generally have a lot of similar goals, you know, to be healthy, to be secure, for our families to, you know, have a better, you know, future than we had. But we come to how do we achieve those on different paths, and really trying to foster communication and understanding of how people are viewing different challenges in their life and different solutions. That's something that we actually need more of in this country. And that's what public television and public radio are committed to doing.
And I watched a part of your address to a group. It was on the website, and we'll have the website on our show notes. You spoke about your parents being of different political parties, as were mine. And I think that was a very important point in my raising, is understanding both sides. And I also, on the website, see that you recognize the work of both Democrats and Republicans to help foster public television, public broadcasting. What have you heard from state and federal politicians, elected officials, about what's going on, and just basically about making a plan forward, whether it's the states then increasing their funding or maybe something that can be done? But what are you hearing from the elected officials on what's been going on over the past couple weeks now?
Yeah, so we have continued to have conversations with members of Congress on, you know, both sides of the aisle and in both political parties. And what we've heard is that there's a lot of concern about what I think were really unintended consequences of the rescission and their impact on local stations. And so we do have interest from members on both sides to think about how can we mitigate this negative impact on the local stations. Really, the conversation was focused on the national level and criticisms that folks had of PBS and NPR. And I think what we're able to focus people on right now, in which there is interest in finding a path forward, although it's all, you know, there's always a challenge to get anything enacted, but we do have interest from folks trying to figure out how do we actually help local stations and make sure that we don't lose that local service.
Well, and the other thing that that we'll talk about in a little bit, we're just about ready to come into the break here, Kate, the break here. But the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, as part of this cut now, is no longer going to administer a program that gave millions to local TV and radio stations to upgrade equipment that is used to send out emergency alerts. That sounds, I don't know, critical.
Yeah, it's very concerning that the Next Generation Warning System grant program, which is a grant at FEMA but has been administered by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, is being ended because the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has to wind down its operations since it has no more funding after October 1st. So we are very concerned. These are critical grants that support station infrastructure that transmit emergency alert and warnings throughout our country. And so we are calling on FEMA to ensure that that program continues and that they continue to operate and provide those grants to local stations as Congress intended.
Just 2 weeks ago, Kate, we had massive flooding here in southeastern Wisconsin. People are still, we had people with basement walls collapsed and things like that. And I think about stuff like this happening in rural areas. This is why we need this, so you can get those alerts and the word can get out to you that this stuff is coming. We're going to continue our conversation with Kate Riley, the president and CEO of America's Public Television Stations. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dominic Lee coming to you live from our homes here at Radio Park in Racine and Civic Media's world headquarters in downtown Madison. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on YouTube and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports, except for the last couple of games that the Brewers had, so we'll just pretend that never happened. Right now, though, we are joined by Kate Riley. She's the president and CEO of America's Public Television Stations. We were talking before the break about the recent funding slashing of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and what that's going to mean. And right before the break, Kate, we were talking again about these grants that go out to local TV and radio stations to upgrade equipment that they use to send out emergency alerts. That's really critically important, especially for smaller communities.
It's absolutely true. You know, the emergency alert system has multiple layers, and public television is one of the ways in which emergency alerts are distributed throughout the country. And it's extremely important that we have those multiple layers so that if the internet goes down in one area, that broadcast transmission signal can still get the alert to regions that desperately need that information. We also have our local stations providing on-air, local, up-to-the-minute news and information on the evacuation routes and other information that can help people stay safe during emergencies. And we've seen this be particularly effective during hurricanes in Florida, during wildfire situations out west, where the local public television and public radio stations are really the only local news that Americans are able to access to get that critical information in the moment. So we are very concerned about the impact on public safety of these cuts, both the cuts to CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and now the fact that the Next Generation Warning System grant has been thrown into uncertainty. So we know that Congress intended that funding to go to public media stations to support the transmission of these alerts, and we are working and encouraging FEMA to ensure that that funding does continue to get out.
Well, and unfortunately, these weather events, and we've talked about this many, many times, these are only going to continue. It's not like the need for these alerts is going to lessen. Unfortunately, I think they're going to just go up.
Well, yes, of course. And I think one of the things that, and you spoke earlier in the previous segment about you talking to FEMA about ensuring this grant money to make sure that there is money to be spent to make sure these programs, that make sure this system is still available. Another way, if you're listening right now, is to go to myvote.wi.gov and call all your representatives. Tell them how important, one, public broadcasting is to you. Tell them how important these emergency systems are to our communities, and tell them that they need to work together to find a solution, because it is inherent upon them to protect us, especially in times of emergency, weather events, things of that nature. But yeah, myvote.wi.gov, find your representative's information, give them a call, be respectful, and tell them that these are important things in your lives.
Is there anything else that people can do, Kate?
Yeah, so, you know, I was just going to note, we also operate a grassroots organization called Protect My Public Media at www.protectmypublicmedia.org. If you're particularly interested in knowing how you can engage by, you know, calling your members at the right time, you know, we encourage you to do that through any system that works for you. But if you want to sign up to get updates at protectmypublicmedia.org, we'll keep you posted on all these critical moments and when your voice can be most heard and most influential. But, you know, I think the one thing to really remember here is that Americans support public media. They support the federal investment. You know, 76% of Americans agree that public television provides an excellent value. And that includes 65% of people who voted for President Trump. So this really is not a partisan issue. This is a bipartisan issue. This is an American issue. People need to have this local service in their communities. And there is a way to restore funding for local stations this year in the next funding process that's going to be completed in the next couple months. And so that's what we're really working with Congress to do.
Well, and I just think about, you had mentioned some of the programming that public broadcasting is able to do because of their formats. Some of the long form things like the Ken Burns series that they've done on PBS television, which were astonishing pieces of artistry and history. And we would all be lesser without having that in our lives.
Absolutely. You know, public television is deeply committed to telling America's stories. And we see that both through the programming of Ken Burns. This fall, American Revolution is coming out, which I've seen a few clips of, and it's going to be incredible. But our stations all around the country are engaging in local documentaries and local events to really think and celebrate America 250, the 250th anniversary of our country, and think about both the past, but also our plans and visions and dreams for the future. And it's so important for local communities to have that voice in their local public television station to really tell those stories and shine a light on that. And I just wanted to say, as a Marquette grad and someone with lots of family ties to Wisconsin, I have been thinking about all my friends and family in Milwaukee who have been affected by those floods and everybody throughout the state. But it's an honor to get to speak with you all in a Wisconsin production.
Where our accents feel familiar. Yes, exactly.
We have some cheese curds for you today.
Yes. Oh, my favorite.
Glass of milk and we'll ride on a car.
There you
later.
Go.
Kate Riley is the president and CEO of America's Public Television Stations. It's been such a pleasure. Kate, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, we'll lighten it up with a little sports talk. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, All Aboard edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can listen to us around the world on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Scared and running, but I'm still waiting for the second.
And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dominic Lee in for Calvin, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine and also Civic Media's world headquarters in downtown Madison. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have some breaking news before we get to Audio Sorbet. Sarah Godlewski, not a big surprise, has announced her campaign for Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor.
Yes.
She is currently Wisconsin Secretary of State, but Sarah Godlewski, earlier about half an hour ago, announced her candidacy during a press conference today in Madison.
And then there's Sarah Rodriguez running for governor.
For governor, yep.
We could have the Sarahs running
Wisconsin. I don't hate that. This is the portion of the program.
Yes, indeed.
That we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, get away from the news so we can all take a breath and recombobulate, essentially.
Dang.
I know. See how
recombobulation. It's not just for the news.
There you go. We wanted to talk about, what do you do for self-care? Mm-hmm. A lot of folks super stressed out, exhausted, tired, anxious, angry, many things.
All the things that aren't good for you.
We're all feeling these things. So what do you do when you need a break?
Yeah.
What is your go-to? Is it I grab a book and I go sit in a corner for an hour? Is it I go for a walk? Is it I go hit something? Might
in
happen.
In a measured and healthy way?
Exactly. What is your way of doing your self-care these days? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're on the live stream. We see the comments that come in on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
Yeah. I won't lie. I do not have a time-honored tradition of self-care.
No.
Or as far as the all these things are going on, life is busy, and when I get home, I generally just sit on the couch and watch television.
And veg.
But it doesn't provide the release that I'm looking for and what a lot of people get out of their own versions of self-care.
Their escape.
So for me, I have vested interest in listening to people and what they're doing because, yeah, I suffer from a lot of stress and anxiety, and a lot of it's put on by me. I understand.
We all do that to ourselves, though.
But yeah, I don't know. Reading doesn't do it for me because reading is just a frustrating activity for me.
Well, that's no fun.
Yeah. And the television thing is fine, but it doesn't, I'm not like, I'm just going to watch some crazy television. It's just, I'm kind of watching television to get me through the day and be like, allow the mind to stop
to
talking
wander.
To me.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, I'm here for suggestions, everybody. And Jane, what about you?
For me, it is reading.
Okay, great.
That's always been, even from when I was very, very little, reading has always been a great escape for me. I'm reading a biography of Julia Child right now.
Oh!
I don't cook. I don't like to cook. This has nothing to do with cooking. I just find she's an interesting person. And for me, I can escape into that story.
Yeah.
You know, the time she spent in Paris and all of that, it just is.
She was a spy too, right?
She worked for the OSS. Yeah. She says she was a file clerk.
Sure.
Of course she was.
Yeah. Sure there, Jay
Childs.
Sure,
Julia.
Sure.
We believe you.
What about you, Dom? How about you? How do you distress?
I was just going to say, yeah, I actually utilize self-care quite a lot. Thing that I use is I play a lot of board games. I'm a big board game guy, and I love playing Risk. Risk is something that I tend to play every week when I just want to turn my stress level down and just get away. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So now Risk is about taking over the world, isn't it?
Okay. It is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But it's something that
sounds stress-free.
It's definitely stress-free.
What are you going to do to say, destroy my enemies? Yeah.
And, you know, half the time I play online too. So it's not really a board game, but it still helps my stress levels go down. You know, and I enjoy it. It's a stress-free game, in my opinion. I don't know about other people, but
it works for you.
Yes, exactly.
That's great.
I just find that so fascinating because I've played Risk and board. This is where I malfunction. This is my malfunction is that board games provide me a level of anxiety that make me just say, I don't want to play because I just worry about how many people are playing? What are the rules? Mm-hmm. How do we play this? What are the rules? I don't want to break the rules. Can someone explain to me the rules? I'm sorry you have to talk about the rules so much. I've never played this game before. How about I just sit over here and watch television?
We're not going to invite him to our game night, Dom. I think we'll skip
that.
Greg's invitation.
Great idea, Jane.
Maybe we'll go
don't
something easy.
Don't invite me.
Yeah, we'll go like maybe we'll go checkers first and we'll
build up.
I'll play some Uno.
Uno. What about Trouble? We can just play with the Pop-O-Matic. That'll be fun.
It pops so much, Jane.
855-752-4842. How do you do your self-care? What do you do for self-care? 855-752-4842. John from Menominee Falls listening on WAUK. My self-care is yard work and then a beer on the deck.
And that is similar to, oops, there we go. Sorry about that. I was looking at the live stream. PJ on the live stream says, I pull weeds in my garden if I need to step away from social media. And that honestly right there is like one of the big things is I guess you could count this as self-care. Something I've been trying to do is when I do watch television, I try to put my phone on the other side of the room. So I'm not looking at a screen, then looking at a screen, then looking at a screen, and looking at a screen. Yeah. So I try, if I'm going to watch television and watch a program, I'm going to put my phone down, I'm going to put my glasses down, and focus on the thing right there. And take in the information. But yeah, that's very, very important to get away from that social media, because it can be informative, but it can be so damaging too.
It's exhausting. It really is. And I do the same thing too, PJ. I'm on social media way too much because mm-hmm. that's where news breaks.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But I will do the same thing. I'm going to do that today when I get home. Boy, my weeds are doing really, really well since we had all that rain. They're like 4.5 feet tall.
Oh, I know.
They look magnificent. I wish I could reclassify them.
Really quick side note here. Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Amazon Prime buys and what, like, and Chris Alfheim talked about that she had bought a flamethrower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got a suggestion for a flamethrower recently on Amazon, and I thought to myself, it's a weed flamethrower. It's designed for weeding. And I'm like,
don't tease me.
This is either going to go incredibly well or is going to be a disaster. There's no in between.
Oh, that sounds bad.
That might be some self-care right there.
Burning down my house does not sound like a good idea for self-care. I think I'll stay away from the flamethrower for the week. Cassandra on the live stream, we're talking about how you self-care. Cassandra says about every 8 weeks I go in for a facial, get a pedicure, just to get a break from the kids and the spouse. Next week I'm going to a head spa.
I'd like to know what that is. Head spa?
What is a head spa?
Is that code for therapy, or is that like they work on your skull and like they do the massaging and they do, you know, treatments? I've seen that online,
like a Raikou for your head.
Yes, there you go. I just want to say really quick shout out to Dom, because Dom, you're in your early 20s, correct?
22.
And I feel like, one, I don't know what it's like to be a 22 year old in this society today. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things happening, and you and God willing, you have a long way to go in life, but there's gonna be a lot of things that are going to change for your generation.
Definitely. No doubt.
Definitely.
Your generation's embrace of self-care, normalizing it, encouraging it. Talking about mental health, encouraging for people younger and older and being there for people. I just, seriously, when I hear young people talk about mental health and their ways of dealing with it, I just feel like it's like, oh, good. At least one thing feels like it's being taken care of right now. At least, you know, because even when it's not eons ago, but it is decades ago. But when I was in my 20s,
didn't
talk about that.
Ever.
Going to therapy? My goodness.
Yeah. Cassandra back on the live stream says it's the latter.
Ah,
it's
gotcha.
Special shampoos, scalp massage, et cetera, et cetera. We're taking your calls and your texts about how do you do your self-care? Mm-hmm. We all need a break these days.
She also says, I do therapy too. Both types of head spa.
Both are double head spas.
There you go. There you go. I like your inner and outer. I love that.
Teresa, I love this one. I pound schnitzel. Trust me, you don't need a therapist when you pound the heck out of it. Recently, we have had extremely thin schnitzel in our house.
I just don't even know how to do that information.
I don't even eat schnitzel, and I may just go get some so I can whack on it.
I would. All right. I just want to imagine Teresa at home just bubbling and churning with stress and, you know, whomever, husband, boyfriend, whomever, girlfriend, wife. I don't know Teresa, but just hands them the pulverizer. The mallet and says, you know what to do right now. Get it out.
Get it out.
Get it
it's
out.
Right there. It's right waiting there. For you. Casper, listening on WAUK, pick up that guitar, Greg. That's what I do.
I know. You're absolutely.
Do you not play it when you're stressed out?
No. Because Jane, okay. The things that a lot of people do to de-stress cause me so much stress.
Anxiety? That's
because
not good.
When I think about playing guitar, I think about, am I playing well? Am I playing right? What am I playing? Have I always, like, it is such self-sabotage. It is so unhealthy, Jane. So that's why I'm taking your cues and your, a big fan of therapy as well, but it's just, yeah. It's,
open to suggestions.
Exactly. Maybe
open to suggestions.
I would love to actually get a head spa.
I think you should.
I think that's wonderful.
Terry on WAUK, I spend time with my dog.
Ugh.
And
there
I play the New York Times puzzles.
There you go.
That's a good way. John from the Falls, the weed flamethrower is incredibly satisfying. Yes, I have one. Oh, John, don't tempt me.
Yeah.
weed flamethrower. Ooh.
Ardith on the live stream says, I spent extra time with my giant schnauzer doggy. She loves playing catch with me. And I will say, the morning and the evening, getting out of bed and going to bed is incredibly wonderful because it's just the three of us, me, Bridget, and the dog.
All cozy.
Playing with Maybell. She's all ready to get up on the day, and it's just a nice way to leave the house. Cause, and also, she's always like looking at me like, where are you going? I want to play.
Why are you not taking me with you?
Why don't you love me?
Dan from Wausau texting in, I go to my fully forested 40 acres in Marathon County where I walk the woods and trails in peace. This is great. Japanese have termed it tree bathing. Look that up. That's a thing. Tree bathing, which sounds strange at first, but it makes sense. The energy the trees give off when you're hiking or just sitting on a stump and soaking up nature.
I go to my fully forested 40 acres. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, he does it all the time.
Well, Dan, we'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there about 3 hours.
We can be in Wausau in about 3 hours.
Just looking at the expanse of your land and also the tree. Oh my God. Yeah, okay. There's another great idea. Going for a good walk, an arboretum or in the forest, going for a hike. There you are.
Go outside. Touch grass.
You guys got to search up tree bathing. It looks so soothing.
It's cool.
And yeah, I've never heard of it, okay, but now I want to do it.
All right.
Tree bathing.
But there's another road trip.
Wow.
A tree bathing road trip. Dan, we're coming your way.
It's called Shinrin Yoku.
Of course it is.
My God.
When we return, we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the glow up edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide. Pick us up around the world if you have the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. Dan, come on up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dominic Lee, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine and Civic Media's world headquarters in downtown Madison. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on YouTube and Twitter, for whatever reason, you can't leave comments on Facebook.
What?
If you're watching us on Facebook.
You should be able to.
We had a texture text
said
in this.
YouTube.
Oh, it was YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
YouTube. Sorry about that. You can always text us, though.
Please do so.
Yeah, directly. You can text directly from the app if you have the Civic Media app, which you should have.
Please get that.
For tomorrow for Free Ticket Fridays. So if you don't have it yet, download the app. You can call and text directly from the app, whatever station you're listening to across the state. And you can also leave a voice note now. That's one of our newest things. Hey, coming up on the show tomorrow, Maureen Busalaki is going to be joining us. We've wanted to talk about this for a while. The number of liver deaths related to excessive drinking.
Yes.
In Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, you know, I think a lot of times we treat our drinking problem with kid gloves or with comedy or with pride.
Yep.
With pride. And it is a real thing. It is a dangerous thing. And we've heard from politicians of all sorts saying that we need to do something about this. And there are definite consequences to excessive drinking. And Maureen Busalaki will be on tomorrow to talk about that. And I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I am too. Yeah. And at the same time, I'm seeing more and more reports saying that Americans drinking overall, maybe not in Wisconsin, but overall is coming down. More and more Americans are choosing not to indulge. So we'll talk about that tomorrow with Maureen Busalaki. In hour number two, it is Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area.
Do you know who else will be here tomorrow? Calvin.
Calvin is back.
Calvin returns, and I'm going to use that to take this moment to say thank you to Mr. Dominic Lee in Madison at our mothership, our home, our world headquarters.
It all
we
want to
thank you so much for your help this week.
Oh, it's
we
been
really
a lot of fun.
Thank you. It all worked out. The tech issues, everything else. It all worked out.
Monday never happened at all.
Just get like rid of the that. Last couple Brewers games.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to fold it all up and put it into a pocket universe. That's a Superman reference. And pretend like it doesn't exist.
What is one of the non-thing?
Yeah.
It's a non-thing. All right, Dominic, it's 10:55. Getting late. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from Yahoo News. No one has the byline. Nobody wanted to take credit for this.
Bob Yahoo wrote it.
The headline reads, man clings to Austrian high-speed train and survives. A man survived clinging to the outside of a high-speed train in Austria, reportedly after he went outside to grab a smoke. Late Saturday, the man grabbed onto the outside of the train. Like in a movie. He's hanging on to the side of the train. And then eventually they did an emergency stop as people saw, I think there's a man clinging to the outside of this train.
Yes. We did not pay for this part of the tour.
This is extra.
This is an extra little piece of tourism.
A railway spokesperson says it is irresponsible. This kind of thing usually ends up with someone dying. And you're not just putting yourself in danger. If you end up under the train, not good. There's rescuers, police, and fire service that you are also putting at risk.
So, folks, if we've learned anything from today's...
Don't smoke.
Don't smoke. Exactly! You took my joke! That was my joke. Smoking leads to illegal train riding.
Yeah, don't...
Kids.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Jade, I'm trying to think of a version of me, because I believe in the multiverse, a version of me that's just, you know, taking a big old puff on a cigarette and sees it's taking off and thinking to myself... I can do this.
I'm just going to jump and hang on.
I don't even run after my dog. I'm not running after a train because it wouldn't so much be running. It would be like mid walk, like
loping,
something between a sad walk and a speed walk in the middle. But I'm also like favoring my left foot because I got some Achilles problems. Yeah. So it's just like, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just gonna keep on that cigarette and watch it. I'm like, I'll catch the next one.
The man is clinging to the outside of the train, started banging on the windows.
You think he still had the cigarette in his mouth?
Still smoking, hanging on like a bug, resulting in the train's conductor activating the emergency brake, and they stopped the train and then brought him on board. The conductor said a passenger really had a go at him.
Yeah, I know. They're just staring at him. Like, I was supposed to, I'm going to be late now.
This is not the only time this has happened. In January, a 40-year-old man survived clinging to a German high-speed train for 20 minutes. Don't smoke and don't hang on to the outside of trains. I just think, right?
We don't offer much in the way of expert advice at Matt and Air on Air Industries. What we do say is the truth. Don't smoke. Don't ride on trains.
Don't grab the outside of a train. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Dom. Really appreciate it, Dom. It's been a lot of fun. And without you, nothing works. Thank you, Civic Media engineers and everyone at Civic. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit. And you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Free Ticket Friday tomorrow.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.